Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, good Thursday, everyone. It is Dom time. We are waiting with bated breath. The Oracle. Nancy Pelosi, back from the climate summit, is going to address us, and we'll dip in and out of that at Dan's discretion. It's going to address us on where are we with impeachment, the big summary, the big movement. Will she pivot toward anything and say, now we've seen this, we've seen what's happened? By the way, before we get to Nancy Pelosi and some stuff that is just unimaginable, including Dan's buddy, formerly worked there, the woke Howard Stern. Well, people on Twitter are saying it's my buddy.
It is your buddy.
Because he gave me 15 minutes.
Well, it was Dumb Giordano.
It was 14.
Dummy Giordano.
It was 14.8 minutes, but they're savvy enough to know in radio, for a show like that, Dan, this is like being on for a year. He just reached out and said, here.
Oh, he trashed you too.
Not real. I mean, you know what? I got to say, I think he's lost his fastball in that.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That was the best trashing.
You're a Lego, dum-dum.
There you go. I mean, I could take that. If this were, I don't wear
it's
a
like
wig.
Schoolyard.
At least I don't wear a wig. You know, you didn't start in on the hair. We'd have to.
All right, here's Dumb Giordano talking about me, the guy next door. The good guy next door.
Yeah, it doesn't like that in the bio. Doesn't like the good guy next door. Well, at least I'm not the guy next door with a wig. But anyhow. He got Hillary Clinton yesterday, and people are roasting him because of the softballing. Look, I understand the position he was in, but letting Hillary skate on all the boyfriends she had and the stuff that went on with that, and I'm real. And this one would have won the election if she had gone on with Stern during the election cycle. Hillary has a great deal of difficulty at humanizing herself. She really does.
She does. And
it's just tough.
And the one thing that Howard's good at is bringing humanizing factors to a person.
Right.
And even like he had so much opportunity to ask such good questions.
What would you have asked, Dan?
I would have dug into some of the scandals around her.
Epstein?
Epstein, definitely.
Epstein, and look, she's prepped on Epstein. She's got a lot that she could say, and then she could say some of it's a legal matter, and he'll say, well, he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
I would have, you have to ask about Epstein.
Yeah.
We went through this yesterday. Chick-fil-A pitched us to come on and talk about give time, not just money, resources, right? And I said, hey, if they come on, we'd have to tell them we're going to ask you about being a traitor, so to speak. And I wouldn't want to do that with the spokesperson of this because that's not what they're geared up for. They need to send a heavy hitter spokesperson.
Yeah.
And we're not going to ambush them. So if Hillary's coming on, there's got to be an agreement, a question or two about Epstein. But the big story yesterday, Tucker Carlson has it best from all this. This person that they dredged up from Stanford, you know what to tell that the witness is going to go nuts? When they sit back a lot of the time, then they lean in right on top of the mic. The Carlin woman, I don't know if you noticed that. Every time she was going to go open up. So last night, we were at an event. Magnificent. Thanks to Rich Pruitt. I'll give you all the details on it. I have a fruitcake here. I have not opened
yet. Don't call yourself that, Dom.
Because I know that my producers want to hack away at it also.
It's disgusting.
They gave me this Chef Pennantoni Milano, Serrano, Italy.
Dom, it's Italian. How are you having trouble pronouncing it?
What is it?
I don't know. I don't know what it is. You're the Italian one. You should know how to pronounce the Italian dish.
I've never heard of it before, but thank you, Rich Pruitt. We'll get to all the details of what happened, but the big detail last night was fun. Entertainment. How for people, you know, they were into the music, the drinking, the food, the whole thing that was there. Not just these haranguing harbingers of doom that you get that the Democrats brought in yesterday. Now, first of all, let's deal with the Feldman guy. He wrote a piece in the New York Times, the Harvard guy, talking about how Sharia law was more milder, a better alternative for Americans in the Constitution. This is who they bring in, the Sharia law guy. The Gerhardt guy was another. Well, you know what? I do notice Nancy Pelosi has a fetching white suit on. So let's dip in a little bit. We'll dip in and out. Here she goes. Nancy?
From an oppressive monarch.
This is Fox News coverage.
Oppressive monarch, I've heard. They're still doing the king stuff.
Worst of today's events, it becomes necessary for us to address, among other grievances, the president's failure to faithfully execute the law. When crafting the Constitution, the founders feared the return of a monarchy.
The monarchy again, King Trump.
And having just fought a war of independence, they specifically feared the prospect of a king president corrupted by foreign influence. During the Constitutional Convention, James Madison, the architect of the Constitution, warned that a president might betray his trust to foreign powers, which might prove fatal to the Republic. Another founder, Governor Morris, feared that a president may be bribed by a greater interest to betray his trust. He emphasized that this majesty
nice reading, Nancy. Nice reading. It's real off the cuff stuff.
The people are the king.
Oh, well, let's dip out of this for now. Tell me when she gets to what they're going to do. You know, this is the new theme now. Trump as king. King Trump. No, she's unleashing it today. They sort of got into it yesterday, these stooges. But now she's unleashing it big time. This is what the theme is going to be. King Trump. That's where they're going. All right, so the star yesterday.
I just can't believe that's a narrative after doubling down on what happened
yesterday. Right, now it's King Trump. The star yesterday for me, and going forward, though, as the face of this, the miserable face of this, this woman who, look, when you go into this, you have to at least pretend that you're even-handed, you're all these things. But this Carlin woman might be the best that we've seen of derangement, of misery. And Tucker Carlson making a great point. It's not just about Trump and impeachment. Tell me right now, if you watched any of this, and I'll play the Barron Trump clip, and everybody knows, and this wasn't an offhanded remark, this was scripted. You don't go there. You don't do that. That you at least have to pretend that you're being fair. You're not all revved up. And every time she spoke, she went wild. She's the epitome of this. And Carlson making the point that I've made, it's not so much just the policy and going after Trump. You know what this is. These are our betters. This all-star panel, the faculty lounge, talking down to us. And this woman is chilling when it comes to that. The two guys were bad, but I'm sorry, but sexism or not, this is one of the worst we've ever seen. So she takes this Sheila Jackson Lee, who an arena of adults. By the way, I do have the brilliant questioning yesterday from the dean of decency, Madeline Dean, who actually dropped the D word, decency. It's her signature. You know, some of these women wear pink, some of them wear blue. The one woman wears hats. Madeline Dean ought to have a big D on there, not for dean, but for decency. Listen to this from Carlin, and this is scripted. This is exactly scripted. She tried this out a lot. Here's the money line, and Democrats don't like it, including George Conway, the husband of Kellyanne Conway, who tweeted back attacking Melania Trump. Now, everybody knows when a mom comes to the defense of their kid, other than Hunter Biden, the defenders of Hunter Biden, that's his kid, really? Barron Trump, 13, and you know the backstory, Rosie O'Donnell and others trying to mock him. Something's wrong with him, right?
I feel like there's got to be an age cutoff, right?
Yes. What should we set the age at?
And if you're not on your parents' insurance anymore, you can't be attacked.
That's a pretty good, yes.
25.
You should at least be in your 20s. We all agree on that. Whether it's Chelsea Clinton, and I know about Rush, don't call Dan. I don't want to hear it. I'm knowledgeable. I don't do that. She's mocking her. But now she's fair game for the stuff that she does. Hunter Biden is certainly fair game. The Obama kids, you know, there's been stuff here and there, but no, you can't go there. They did go after the Bush girls when Bush was in office. They may have been drinking, doing some stuff. You know, you just don't bring kids into it. That's the rule. Okay, So here is the joke, the turn of the phrase. And I'm sure people were, It's all along the lines that they're building up now. Trump is trying to be a king. And this is the Barron line here. Here's Carlin, who is a new superstar when it comes to the resistance and it comes to the nonsense that they engage in. Here's what she said about Barron Trump.
The king's word was law.
There it is.
And contrary to what President Trump has said, Article 2 does not give him the power to do anything he wants. And I'll just give you one example that shows you the difference between him and a king, which is the Constitution says there can be no titles of nobility. So while the president can name his son Barron, he can't make him a baron.
Thank you.
All right, so that was worked out. That was scripted. You could say in some quarters, it's not the end of the world, okay? But you know what? Given what Democrats always do with the children and all the rest of it, you say that, you elite, cocky, crazed woman, you know what's going to happen and what should happen. So Melania Trump responds, we don't bring minor children into this. We don't do it. George Conway, then. Kellyanne Conway, there's a line that's, as much as I like her, that's crossed here. He says, by you defending your son, defending Barron Trump, he tweets this out, you are making this a bigger spectacle. So if you want privacy, stand down on this. Really? What's in this guy's mind? Do Democrats really think the country's going to let him get away with that? Because the thing that came out of all this bloviating yesterday was the Barron Trump line and things associated with it, and that you just don't do that. And by the way, big story, the Price is Right viewers are in revolt. That tells you what America is about, what America thinks of this whole thing. So to me, the big takeaway is not just what was said on policy and this new line now, monarchy, Trump is a king. It's not just that, it's the idea that these are our betters, the wise men and women. And this Carlin woman is my candidate. She's got to be in the top 10 of public faces of exactly why Trump was elected, why Trump drives them crazy. We have a cut of her coming up where she talked about being on the same side of the street as a Trump hotel, had to walk to the other side. And the things, I'm not going to go past the things she said there to Getz. Liberals like each other, so they cluster together. Conservatives don't, and they spread out. You know what this is about? Their hatred of the Electoral College. They just hate it that they cannot just dictate to the rest. Imagine this woman dictating your everyday life. That's the takeaway from this. It's as big, it reeks of this. Tucker Carlson was exactly right last night. It reeks of this overall condescension, arrogance, patronizing, second to none. They're smarter, they're better. That's what comes across even more than the policy stuff and impeachment stuff and the stuff they said on that. And Feldman, the guy from Harvard, he's the guy that wrote about how beneficial Sharia law is. This is who the Democrats chose to bring in. And what did we counter with? Look, Turley's a brilliant guy. He was fine. You know my feeling. I would have countered with Alan Dershowitz. I'm going to ask him that tomorrow. Book it. Alan Dershowitz is here tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Or Mark Levin. I'll leave that to Dan. He's working on him. Maybe sometime. 855-839-1210. We got a great side question today, too. Compliments of Dan, and we'll tell you about the prize on that as the show unfolds. 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. You just pushed pound 1210. So Nancy Pelosi, in this 30-second announcement today, asked the House Democrats to proceed on impeachment. Proceed. Now, does that mean that's exactly what they're going to do? I still think they are. She didn't have to come today and do this. Now, we'll see. We'll see what kind of strategy they have. And do they do it quicker rather than after the holidays? I still think they're going to impeach. And they're going to talk about all this king stuff. That's what you're going to hear. We've told you that Matt Drudge has just lost his mind. And we have been watching and we dipped in and out with Nancy Pelosi. He's got one of those all, you know, sirens up on his website. It says Pelosi in blood red, we will impeach. Now, she didn't say that. And I'm in a camp that thinks they will. But here's what she did say that she's asked the chairman to go forward with, the Democrats to go forward with.
But with confidence and humility, with allegiance to our founders, and a heart full of love for America, today I am asking our chairman to proceed with articles of impeachment. I commend our committee chairs and our members for their somber approach to actions which I wish the president had not made necessary. In signing the Declaration of Independence, our founders invoked a firm reliance on divine providence. Democrats, too, are prayerful, and we will proceed in a manner worthy of our oath of office to support and defend the Constitution of the United States from all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Boy, there's so much to unpack there, that last part. Yeah. How about in your own party? How about Representative Omar, foreign and domestic? Maybe we should take a closer look at some of the ideology that she's expressed. But anyhow, Nancy Pelosi noticed, too, suddenly divine providence. Suddenly Democrats who couldn't vote to support God at the L.A. convention, if you remember, that whole debacle. They're talking about God and they're talking about the founders. Suddenly they're quoting the founders, who any careful reading indicates they despise because the founders were wary of what they would come up with. All right, so I don't think Matt Drudge has it right. Nancy Pelosi, we will impeach. She's asked them to draw up articles of impeachment. She's not saying to vote for impeachment. There's some wiggle room there. And you know why? Because they're still trying to figure out what they're going to do. So how long does it take them to draw up articles of impeachment? They already have them in their basement. You would think by the end of next week, certainly they'd have them. They can vote on it before Christmas. But I don't think they're going to do that. They're in no man's land. They think there's got to be something out there. So here's what they're trying. The king approach. He wants to be a king. Now, that got sabotaged a little bit with the Barron Trump thing because I think the average person that doesn't pay attention to this quite as much, they heard this woman, you know, beating up on the kid of the president. No one likes that, or most people don't like that, except the mob on the left. They like it. They started up again about Barron Trump. People generally, though, don't like that. All right, side question of the day, a compliment of Dan. And Dan, I went back and I found, when it was on TV, some of the better ones. I have a list of celebrity boxing matches. So the winner today, we'd like to hear, what two people would you actually like to see in the ring? And please, don't just go national. You might want to go local, like Larry Krasner. you could set that up with Larry Krasner, you know, a few rounds. Greg, we could set that up, right? Or some criminal, because he let the criminal go and then he wouldn't have to box anyone. So we could do my favorite, and I think he's a good guy. I know he's kind of nuts in some ways, but Danny Bonaducci versus Barry Williams. That was one of the first ones.
Greg on his way out says Larry Krasner versus Maureen Faulkner. Faulkner would totally win that fight.
I think so. Yeah. No, John McNesby versus Larry Krasner. We could set that up at Seven Fishes as an anti thing here. Here's a couple of others. Manute Bol versus William Perry. All-time great name in this fight, Joey Buttafuoco versus China from wrestling. Remember China?
Yeah, well, Buttafuoco actually had, there was another female bodybuilder in the 90s who he actually had a feud with, and I think they did have a celebrity boxing match at one point.
Okay, Ricky Gervais boxed against a guy named Grant Bovier or something. I don't know who that is, though. But Ricky Gervais. And here's one. Shaquille O'Neal versus Shane Mosley. Sugar Shane Mosley was a boxer. I don't know. I think Mosley won that.
But I hope so.
Buttafuoco won his match.
Oh, Buttafuoco had the match with China.
Yes.
Because I think he also fought Nicole Bass, and that's what I was talking about.
Danny Bonaducci tuned up Barry Williams. I would have bet on Bonaducci, too. All right, so some of these people I don't recognize. Do you have one? Who would you like to see?
Nick Foles versus Carson Wentz.
Oh, God, too good. I'll referee that one.
Who's going to win it? Who'd win in a fight, Foles or Wentz?
Wentz might win.
You think so?
Yeah, he might.
I don't know if either know how to throw a punch.
Nick Foles is very athletic. Wanted to play me basketball. Don't forget that. That was a big moment. I was tempted to tell people, hey, we're going to have to stop the interview for a little bit till we play a little bit of hoops here. That's a very good one, though. Yes. We'll get Joe's in the 10 o'clock hour. So all you have to do at the end of your call is hit us with that celebrity boxing match that you'd like to see. Don't make it just on a national level. You know, and it might be, how about Judge Napolitano in his zoot suit? I'm watching
Zoot Suit Napolitano.
I'm watching him on Fox right now. Who would we pair up with Napolitano? How about with Fredo? Fredo Cuomo?
Don Lemon. Don Lemon versus Chris Cuomo.
I don't think Tucker would win that fight either. I don't see much fighting out of Tucker Carlson. You know,
maybe Hannity versus Cuomo.
Yeah, Hannity apparently knows karate. Yeah, that's what he says. Oh,
I think Cuomo practices MMA fighting though. So
yeah, no, he does.
That should be a good fight.
He does look. Yeah. So hit us with that celebrity match that you'd like to see. And am I right? This Carlin woman is a new superstar of the left's misery. She's got it all from yesterday. Any number of comments that she made. But listen to Jerry Nadler. Then we'll start to take your calls. 855. And we'll play a little bit of Hillary with Howard Stern yesterday. The woke Howard Stern. This is 3E. Jerry Nadler praising Bill Clinton, saying, look, Trump won't give us anything. Bill Clinton actually gave up his blood during the Monica Lewinsky stuff.
No other president has vowed to, quote, fight all of the subpoenas, unquote, as President Trump promised. In the 1974 impeachment proceedings, President Nixon produced dozens of recordings. In 1998, President Clinton physically gave his blood. President Trump, by contrast, has refused to produce a single document and directed every witness not to testify.
All right. Now, why did Bill Clinton give up his blood? Because of the infamous blue dress. Okay. By the way, the spelling is not, as somebody put on Twitter back to me, S-E-A-M-A-N. Check the spelling, please, for Monica Lewinsky. And Seaman.
No, that's the Navy officer.
That's the Navy, yes. There wasn't a seaman involved with the blue dress.
Enough of that word, Dom.
Yes, it wasn't involved. Not that.
Spelled
I didn't say that word. Yes, it's spelled, yes. That's two words anyhow. And with Nixon only did that because of the Supreme Court. Then you had the 18-minute lapse on the one tape. Coming up, we'll play you some of the sound from my buddy, Howard Stern. He gave me 15 minutes of a tongue-lashing once, the woke Howard Stern. There wasn't any of that with Hillary Clinton yesterday, Dan, that I detected. I wouldn't say quite a puff piece. He did ask her about all the lesbian stuff, but I don't think he said, are you a lesbian?
He didn't even ask her about it.
No,
and
I think
that's
he
the
said,
most upsetting part, is she brought it up herself.
Oh, she brought up the lesbian rumors.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's, for Howard Stern, this is very, I don't know if those were the ground rules. And, you know, would you think that Howard Stern, now you actually work there, I've only been bashed by him, gently. Do you think that Howard Stern would be more of a Trump supporter than a Hillary Clinton? I'll give you my theory, though, and I said it again. Put this up on the headline. Let's see if they pick it up and they bash me again. Let's put him on the couch. You've heard him say in the last couple of years, he wants the work to matter. In other words, this isn't what he did originally. He wants to be taken more seriously. It's obvious. Mm-hmm. He still does the other stuff a bit to kind of, you know, he has to. So if you're going to do that, the reason I went after him and he then went after me was there was this article he wrote, essentially, there were quotes about Trump is just playing to the rubes. If you're a Trump supporter like the 400 that were with us last night, you're a rube. Trump is playing you. And Howard Stern's smarter than the room. Trump is smarter than the room. I went after him on that. And it must have cut too closely, I think, Dan, because he wants to be taken seriously.
His bio reads, Giordano offers an intelligent guy next door sensibility that is as comfortable as your favorite chair.
To tell you what to think.
Yeah, but I can't tell anyone what to think. But based on our status in the radio industry, maybe listen to me more than this guy. I never heard of him.
Trump.
This has been one of the lines of attack with Trump to try to shame him. And Stern does that
I'm not shaming anyone.
Shame him. Wow.
I'm not attacking Donald. I'm just telling you, Donald knows as much about border security as I do.
How did you shame him?
I don't even know. He never really backs up the statement, I don't think.
It's one of those.
I mean, I think he does a little bit, but it was just all convoluted.
What the heck? Thank you. Thank you very much. Continue, you know. We've invited him on even with the book somehow or another, you know, it didn't work out. So, Dan, I think I'm right. That he wants to be taken seriously. That was the theme. That's what he's doing. So,
yeah, completely.
I'll play the Hannity clip here in a second. But Hannity wants to know why Howard Stern would support Hillary, clearly supporting Hillary Clinton, who he thinks he has to humanize and can't do it, over Donald Trump. I would accept if he says, you know what, I don't like, this is Howard Stern of the past, right? I think maybe when you worked there even, libertarian, all that stuff. He would say, I'm not going to support any of these people. They're both toxic or they're both wrong. You know what I mean? He would never support a Hillary Clinton in the past. He would just mock them.
Oh, he was completely apolitical.
Exactly.
And even when I was there in 2012 when Obama was still in office. Mm-hmm. And Gary Delabate, his executive producer, was a huge Obama fan.
Right.
And he had Scott DePace was the producer of his TV bureau, and they would always go back and forth because DePace was a staunch conservative.
Right.
And Gary was a big fan of Obama. Mm-hmm. And you'd see Howard there, and he'd always tell him to shut up, stop talking about politics. Nobody cares about politics.
There
and all
you
of
go.
A sudden, he's become political. I wonder why.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what this is. He wants to be taken. And I feel for you, Howard. I mean, he's the greatest at what he did. People that don't understand that. How many Howard Stern knockoffs have there been, or Rush Limbaugh knockoffs? There is something both of them have in their genre. He wants to be in a different lane now in his own way. As a result, he ends up with Hillary Clinton, who is one of the most mockable figures you would think for a Stern. I could see if he couldn't go with Warren. I guess I could see if Howard Stern went with Bernie Sanders, not politically, but as sort of an approach, not the ideology. Maybe that. But all these others, he would mock them.
I think where he needs who needs to go on that show is actually Joe Biden. Because Howard, being largely apolitical in the past, I feel would actually dig down and ask him about how he felt when his son was tied up with cocaine.
Right.
And all the deaths that Joe Biden has suffered. I think it would be a fantastic interview, and Biden might actually open up on what we've been trying to hear from him for the longest time.
Now, my big takeaway last night, so we're at the event. When I see this stuff with Hillary, though, I did start to put up on Twitter, and these people, what is it that they don't like about this, that they go wild attacking me? This is another tell, aside from Stern, that Hillary Clinton is going to run. And the way it's going to go down, she's waiting until Joe Biden drops out. Biden is going to get killed in Iowa and New Hampshire. Can he hang on and win in South Carolina? If he loses in South Carolina, he has to drop out. That's the one firewall there. He will, too. I don't think he could just, you know, mangle and continue on. I think he'll drop out at a point anyhow. And that's when Hillary Clinton will come in. Or if he's on his last legs and it looks like a knockout blow, she's going to come in. My question is this. Do you want Hillary Clinton in? I do. I want to see part two again.
Yeah,
I'm for that. Is it that some of these people that go wild, going after me, they think that she's too much of a threat? Are you afraid? Based on what? What has she changed? She's become more deranged, more in the bubble. I don't think she's learned anything from this. So here's Hannity talking about Howard Stern and talking about this interview with Hillary. And also talking about why would Stern not lean toward a Donald Trump, who he said was fabulous on the radio and everything else, versus Hillary Clinton.
And by the way, she brought it up. It was weird. Now, also, Stern asking, this is a little ironic, did Lindsey Graham sell his soul? The guy I grew up listening to, Howard Stern, to me, would have supported Donald Trump, not Hillary Clinton, and probably wouldn't be at Hampton's polo matches and parties. Take a listen.
But then there are those who've kind of fallen off the edge and have so changed their personality, in my view, their politics.
Like a Lindsey Graham?
Like a Lindsey Graham.
Has he sold his soul to the devil?
I don't know the answer to that. I think that's a fair question, however.
Not sure why Howard hates Trump and loves her. Makes no sense. That's not the guy I grew up listening to.
Yeah, I don't. Did it seem there like Stern was saying, yeah, this Lindsey Graham. So it's clear to me he wants relevance. He wants to be a kingmaker here. And somehow or another, he thinks all Hillary needed was to be humanized, to be put over the top. And he would have been the one to do it. Do I think it would have helped, Dan, if Hillary had gone on with him? Yes. I think it would have helped her a little bit. As long as he didn't, you know, do full Howard Stern on her, then it wouldn't have been helpful.
If he did this interview when she was campaigning in 16, it would have done wonders for her campaign, even how softballish it was.
Right.
The fact that there were times when I was listening to the interview, I go, wow, Hillary's actually a real person. And that's coming from somebody who's a very staunch conservative hater of Hillary Clinton.
All right. So, you know, will the Democrat Party turn to her? They want to win no matter what, but I don't think so. I don't think she gets a nomination, but I think she gets in. I would predict it, and I know some of you did. Just why are you always saying that? Because she's alive. And if she's alive, she's going to run for president, particularly a shot at Trump and to be the first woman. All those things are still out there. And here's a little bit more of Hillary Clinton yesterday. And again, for Howard Stern, this was woke or puffball stuff, to put it mildly. This will be 4A. Talking to her, well, tell us what you were like in high school. Did you date a lot of guys? And what about being in student government? What was that like?
Boyfriends, yes or no, in high school?
Boyfriends, yes.
Yes. Serious boyfriend?
No.
No one you ever said, I'm in love?
No.
You had not been in love yet?
No.
Bill was the first guy you loved?
No. There was,
no?
No, there was somebody before him.
Yeah. Somebody before Bill that you would have considered marrying?
No. I would not have considered marrying.
But in love?
But in love.
We never hear about this guy. Oh, is this guy probably pissed he didn't close the deal, right?
He should have locked that down.
No.
He would have been at Oklahoma last night.
I dated a lot of different people, and I liked a lot of them.
You were popular.
I was pretty popular.
Right.
Yeah, I was okay popular.
Right.
Yeah.
Boys were not your problem.
Boys were not my problem.
Right.
But I had not, until I met Bill, met anybody that I thought I would ever marry.
You were not the cheerleader type, though.
No.
You were the studious academic.
Yeah, I was a student. And student government, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So you must have somewhere in the back of your mind figured, hey.
No, I'll tell you another story. So.
Were you the type that would promise people free lunches and more study hall?
just great, you know, great homecoming parties. I mean, you know, that kind of thing.
And so I'm for that.
I remember I did run for president of my high school government, as I remember.
Did you win?
No, of course not.
Did some guy
of
who...
Of course. That one. And then, you know, and it was sort of foreordained because a lot of my, you know, boyfriends, they said, you know, come on, we're not going to elect a girl. I mean, what are you doing this for? I said, well, because you guys, I have some ideas what I want to do. Okay, fine. So somebody else wins. Comes to see him and he goes, you know, I would really like it if you'd help me. And I said, So I said, sure.
Oh, you were really nice.
I was nice.
And I would have said, like,
I like doing things. What can I say?
Oh, my God. Is that Howard Stern there, Dan? Do you think it's an impersonator?
Nope, that's Howard.
And what do you think was up? That was really, you know, that's the first time I fully listened to that cut. She also said that she did call President Trump on election night. And the Trump campaign manager said, that's a lie today. What else is new? And that Trump was more stunned than she was, that he won. I can't picture Trump saying that. That had to be a great call. That had to be an unbelievable. And I can imagine how wrenching it when you have to make that call when you lose. I don't think she did it, though. There's no record of that, and they're claiming it's not true. So here we go again. I still think she's jumping in, though. This is more of an indicator. Some people are putting it out. It's an indicator she's not going to do it. Why else would she do it? She's thinking she's going to do it. She's finally taking the bait. This would humanize her. I have to say, for her, yeah, it is helpful for her versus what we really know she's all about, because Stern really didn't probe this or go anywhere near a lot of this.
I am a real person.
There you go. She can only keep it up for so long, though. It just cannot go for it. That's what the problem is. Okay. Last night's event, spectacular. Now, was it a faux pas, though, whether you were there or not last night? Dan, I didn't even talk to you about this. I made up my mind. I was going to ask, and I asked the host. I always do that. Rich Pruitt and his wife are incredible. If you didn't come to last night's meetup, there will be more. But you got to get out there. The feeling, the bonding, the fun that happens at this is incredible. So I started speaking at the beginning, and I asked, where is the leadership, Republican leadership of Delaware County? Now, a couple of people in the crowd didn't like that. They started pushing back a little bit. They're not the leaders, though. They're sort of in the infrastructure. But the head of the Republican Party was nowhere to be found, and they knew about it. They knew about last night's event. So do you think the Delaware County Republicans and the Chester County Republicans, do they get it that if you don't embrace Donald Trump in 2020 in these suburbs, you are not going to do well in your local offices, congressional, and the rest of it? You're not. And you could cost Pennsylvania. That's what it comes down to. What do we have to do to make them see? I think they buy into the myth. My own analysis, they buy into the myth. You cannot embrace Donald Trump in the suburbs. You got to say, look, there's not much we can do. This is their message to suburban voters. There's not much we can do. We have great local people. They're not like Trump. Vote for us. Do you think that's going to work? What evidence shows that that's going to work? Embracing Trump in this, in large measure, we talked a lot last night. The Trump people love coming to Aston out there in Delaware County. I don't know the reason why. It's an epicenter for them. A lot of people asked about Dan and Joe, particularly Dan. Is he going to be here tonight when I came in?
I'm happy I'm more popular than Joe.
But crushed. By the end of the night, Joe's dating story yesterday had the women swooning. What were the final results, though, of what we put up on Twitter about taking food home? And in this case, it was the salad. I think it was about 60% Dan said, yeah, you got to take a salad home. You should, or you can take a salad home, right? That's the final result.
57% said yes, 43% said no.
I'm counting that as a win for once. I won on Twitter for once. One other quick thing. Check out my column today, the Doylestown Intelligencer and also the Bucks County Courier Times. I wrote about these holiday spoilers, getting a lot of reaction about Hallmark, Chick-fil-A, all the stuff. Boy, I wish I knew about Peloton.
Tom Giordano. Weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.